100 years ago this month, a group of ordinary citizens had a crazy idea to build a highway that stretched all the way from Chicago, Illinois to Atlanta, Georgia, before heading down to Miami Beach, Florida. It was called the Dixie Highway, and in its 10-year lifespan, it would change Georgia and other parts of the South forever. Tammy Ingram is the author of a new book about this early interstate highway system. And in a recent conversation, she talked with me about how people in the South received the idea at the time.
Southerners have for a long time really longed for more long-distance arteries. And they had had a few in the past, and there were some major post roads that crisscrossed the South as well, but no one ever really had responsibility for taking care of those, and so they would fall into disrepair. And so when the Dixie Highway came along, and there's this big push to centralize control over road work so that there are state and federal entities who would take care of these long-distance routes, everybody started lobbying to be on the route. In fact, when they went to Chattanooga in the spring of 1915, to decide where the route was going to go, people got into fights with each other. Everybody wanted so much to be on it.
So at the height of this battle, if you will, how many different routes were proposed?
That's difficult to answer because depending on, there were dozens and dozens of different possibilities. Now, obviously, if you look at a map and try to draw a line from Chicago to Miami Beach, you know, it's not going to go through Texas. It's not going to go through certain parts of the country. So it was pretty obvious which states were going to be on the route from the get-go, but it wasn't entirely clear exactly which cities and towns it would pass through. But there emerged right off the bat two or three major competitors, and that's what really persuaded the organizers of the Dixie Highway to decide that a single route couldn't possibly satisfy all of these different constituencies that were begging to be on the highway. And so they, instead of making it a single route, decided that it would be a ring route. So there were eastern and western divisions. It's really a misnomer. It was not a highway. It was actually an interstate highway system.
Traveling the U.S. interstate system today, you could be dropped on any particular spot, coast to coast, and not really know where you are because everything is so uniform. In the early days of the Dixie Highway system, I understand there wasn't a lot of standardization.
No, not at all. The roads themselves were not standardized. If you were traveling through Illinois, just south of Chicago, you would be traveling on a paved road. By the time you got to Kentucky or Tennessee, the roads had changed to narrower, rutted dirt roads. And so depending on where you were, the road itself was very, very different. But so was the scenery that you passed along the route. These were not interstate highway bypass routes. These meandered through every small town and city along the route. And so the experience of driving the Dixie Highway would have been very, very different from the experience of traveling an interstate highway today. But back in the 19-teens and 20s, it made automobile tourism popular. It made it interesting to people to be able to experience all of these different locations.
Before tourists could begin driving these roads, there was construction. The South relied largely on chain gangs to build these new roadways, while northern states pushed for higher taxes to fund the construction. Could you talk about how southern states ended up using primarily convict labor?
In my book, I really argue that the reason for that had as much to do with a desire to control black labor, black male labor, in those years as it did with an interest in supporting road work. Because by the late 19-teens and early 1920s, in the South, you had state highway engineers who were saying, you know, these brutalized laborers who are breaking rock and grading dirt roads in the South are not really doing a very good job of highway construction. And southern states did not back away from them in spite of that. They recommitted themselves to using chain gang labor because it was convenient in other ways, in ways that politically was very important to the white South. And there was a real, you know, qualitative difference in the roads between the North and the South because of that.
As the interstate highway system began and then flourished, a lot of the old road systems were chopped up. Some disappeared completely as interstate highways replaced these routes. Now, over time, how has the Dixie Highway system aged?
Well, if you're traveling through the Midwest, you can still travel long stretches of the Dixie Highway, because even before the Dixie Highway came along, a lot of those states had built some modern long-distance roads. And so they had already built up residences and commercial properties around those routes, and they still exist today. So when I tell people I write about the Dixie Highway, people in the Midwest always know what I'm talking about. Southerners rarely know what I'm talking about because much of it's gone in the South. But actually, within the last year, the State Highway Department and the Georgia Historical Society have collaborated on a project to remark the Dixie Highway in Georgia. And so they've mapped the original route and are in the process of marking it in some way. So you will be able to travel parts of it, but it's impossible to travel much of the length of the Dixie Highway in the South today.
Tammy Ingram is a professor at the College of Charleston and author of a new book titled Dixie Highway, Road Building and the Making of the Modern South, 1900 to 1930. We have a few photos on our website, along with an old map showing some of the Dixie Highway routes. Find it now at wabe.org/citycafe.